the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the things he has already done. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this word today. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm more excited than I am nervous. So guess what? The nerves are gone because excitement has taken over. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord told me a couple of weeks ago, sometime in January, had to be. I like to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I like to do stuff. So I'm on the back camera, and the Lord told me that he wants, month of February, I got three people I want you to have speak. And it'll be the matters of the heart. And he gave me the three names. So that's why you see, Mr. Nishi spoke and I'm speaking. Then next week you'll see one of our other women of God will be speaking. Because God wants us to talk about the matters of the heart. Because it's Valentine's month, but he don't want us to focus on Valentine's. He don't want us to be focused on that. We all got to understand it's Black History Month. But he don't want us to focus on that. He wants to focus on his love. His love. Not man's, but his love. How he loves us unconditional. He wants us to focus on it. So he wants to get your mind off of Black History Month. Get your mind off of Valentine's Day. He said, I want y'all to get y'all mind on me. Think about me. Think about what I'm doing for you. Think about who I am. So that's what he wants us to get our mind on. So all for the last couple of weeks, we've all heard we talk about John 3 and 6. Because that's very, 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 very important scripture. So with that being said, I'm going to start with John 3:16. I said 3:16. So turn your Bibles to John 3:16 as we go ahead on and get into this word. And it reads, as y'all turn, but it's also on the screen. For God so loved the world. By the way, my title is God So Loves, meaning it doesn't stop. It continues. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his second son, his third son, his fourth son. He gave his only son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, the world, but that the world through him might be saved, giving us another opportunity. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, with that being said, as you can see, it's plain as day. He gave us his only son. He ain't had but one, so he gave us his only son. And he's basically saying that he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to basically fulfill the law. So if you don't believe in his son that he gave us unconditionally, then you don't believe in him, and so therefore you won't be saved. It's almost like if my husband has our son, we only got one begotten son, by the way, too. We got five girls and one boy. So if my husband sends his son and says, Ronnie, go tell Elder Perlo male, because we have female and male, Elder Perlo male, that I need him to come here. And he go and tell Elder Perlo, Elder Perlo, my father wants you to come here. And Elder Perlo say, I don't believe he told you that. He said, no, Elder Perlo, my father wants you to come here. I don't believe he told you that. And he don't come. Then that means that he don't believe in my husband. Because he don't believe nothing he said. Because he sent his son to tell you to come here. So therefore, if you don't believe his son, then you don't believe him. I said, you're getting in trouble, right? So therefore, you don't believe in what the pastor's saying. Then the pastor gonna come and say, Elder Perlo, I told you, my son came. My son My son came and told you that I want you to come here. Oh, I ain't believe you said that. He's going to look at him. So when you think about it, when it comes to things of God, our Heavenly Father, he sent his son to die for us to be saved so we can have everlasting life. If you don't get saved, then you don't believe that. You're just going to continue living your life because you don't believe that. You don't believe that can happen. You don't believe he died for you. You don't believe any of that. So, but once you believe, things going to happen in your life. Amen? Okay, because of that, now let's see what happens when you do believe. Let's go to Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart. Now, we talk about matters of the heart. Believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, right standing with God. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you don't say it, for me, it didn't happen. Saying it means more than we can even imagine. Okay, case in point. God had to put stuff to me so I can understand. I don't understand, God, what you're trying to say. So he had to break it down to me really, really easy. So because he break it down to me that I'm so happy he do that, so I'm glad to share it with y'all. So this is what God do for me. He, when you go before the judge, and the judge says, and you got a lawyer with you now. You got a lawyer. The judge going to say, how do you plead? If the lawyer said guilty, he don't want to hear what the lawyer said. He said, no, what do you plead? How do you plead? You got to say guilty or not guilty. Because if you don't say it, it didn't happen. It don't mean nothing unless you say it. The judge don't want to hear what the lawyer said. Because guess what? The lawyer ain't in trouble. You are. So he wants to hear what you say. Do you say you're guilty or you say you're not guilty? So the judge said, guilty or not guilty? You say, I'm not guilty. The judge said, okay, let's go. Let's go to the next person. Then the judge, he going to say, okay. He going to say, no, you ain't. You guilty. He going to say, okay, because that's what you said out your mouth. So when it comes to God, what you say out your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the third day for my sin. So I'm safe because I confessed that on my mind. He don't want you to just say, you got to go. You can think it. But what happens to your thoughts? All kind of stuff. But when you say it out your mouth, it means something. Another good example. When you go to the courthouse to get married, you can go to the courthouse all day and do you take this woman to be your, you can say, the husband can say, he said, we do. He can say, what do you, then guess what? Then the preacher going to get suspect. Because he'll say, you said, we do. Then he going to say, well, something's going on here. No. Well, okay, ma'am, do you want to marry this man? Do you want to marry him? Because you ain't saying nothing. Do you want to marry him? Oh, yeah, I do. And then he'll say, oh, because he's speaking for both of y'all. Can't nobody speak for you. Because when you stand before God, they ain't going to be there to speak for you then. You have to say it for yourself. That's what God honors. You saying it out your own mouth. That's why he said when you ask something, you have to say. Because when you say it, it means something. You know, guess what? Y'all words out your mouth mean something. People, you be just talking and talking. Next thing you know, it means something. Because somebody can say, oh, I remember she said something. Oh, she remember that. Oh, my God, she remember what I said? Your words mean something. So you better watch your mouth. Because it means something. It means something. So God had to get, and I was thinking about it. Oh, my God. Even think about this. If you get before Jesus, you want to say, I do. You put your hands behind your back. And put your hand behind your back. Do you take this woman to be your lover? Then your woman said, I do. But she got her hands crossed behind her back. I do. But in her mind, I really don't. It don't mean you already said I do. This don't mean nothing. You already said I do. And on paper, you're married. Then I'm crying. You don't open your mouth. It's a done deal now. You already said you do. So I said, oh, my goodness. I go back at people. You condemn your own self sometimes with your mouth. You condemn your own self. Now I want you all to go to Psalms 119, 165. In Psalms 119, 165, I was thinking, I said, oh my God, 165. That's a whole lot of Psalms. There's a whole lot of verses in Psalms. That's a 165. I said, oh my God. So when Zell, he was putting in the scriptures for me today, he says, I said, Psalms 119, 165. He had to keep going. I said, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. 165. That's all the way down there. But it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. When you love God's law, it don't matter what nobody say, you won't be moved. That said, when you love God's law, nothing can make you move. The key is, those great peace have those who love your law. Nothing. Those who love. Who loves God's law? Who loves his law? We love some of God's laws that apply to us. We don't love all. It ain't said love some of, love his law. God got a whole lot of laws. And we supposed to love all of them. Every last one of them. But you think, if God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and Jesus Christ died to fulfill the law, not to condemn it, but to fulfill it. So you have to love the law if you're going to love God. You have to love his law. You have to love his law because you need to do all his laws. Now, with that being said, let's go to Mark 12. Mark 12, we're going to look at verse 30 and 31. Now, with that being said also, I'm going to need four volunteers. So in your mind, get your mind ready to whoever going to volunteer, come up and volunteer. All right, now, let me read what I got to say. Mark 12, 30, verses 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, basically like, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is none other commandment greater than these. Okay, so you know now, first of all, you got to love the Lord. And you got to love your neighbors. Okay, I need four people. I need four people, 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 four people. Okay, I got one, two, three, okay, okay. Five, oh, no, circle me, circle me. It don't matter how many. All y'all can come around and circle, just circle. Okay. Here. Okay, here we go, here we go. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You got to love your neighbors. That's my neighbor. 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 I love you. I love you. I don't like you. I love you. I love you. And I love you. But I love you. Yeah, I don't like you. So you don't, you're not my neighbor. But I love you. So I love all of y'all and I don't love you. So am I following God's commandment? Am I following the law? So I got to love everybody, right? So everywhere I turn, wherever, I don't care who they are, I got to love them. I love you, I love you, I love you. I don't care if she pushed me, I still love you in Jesus' name, in the Lord, in God's love. But guess what? I can't love her with my love. That ain't going to happen. She just pushed me. I'm going to push her back. That's not God's love. God, I can love her with God's love. And God's love, I can love you. I can love you however you treat him. You talked to me terrible yesterday, but I love you. I love you, but you talked about my daughter, but I love you. I love you, but you cut me off at the pass when I was driving. I remember that. I love you. I love you too. Guess what? When you were talking to me, you said, wait, I love you. I love you too, because you know what? When we was at church yesterday, you cut me off when I was trying to get out the parking lot. You ain't opened the door, but I love you. But that's only with God's love I can love her. Because guess what? I can love them for that. Only with God's love. Thank y'all, because I love y'all. Amen. It's only with God's love. I can think about all the things you did, all the stuff you did to me. But if I love you with God's love, I can let it go. I can let it go. I can let it go. But that's only with God's love, because I have to love you, because that's what the law said. I have to love you. But I'm going to tell y'all something. When it comes to God's love and the law, Sometimes it's hard to love somebody with God's love. Sometimes it's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to love. I'm not saying, that's why I say we get up there and we say, oh, you got to do this. It ain't easy. Sometimes it's not easy to love somebody that done you wrong, somebody treated you bad. It's hard to let that stuff go. Sometimes you can have some festering in your soul for years because you can't let that go. But you have to love them with the God's love. You can only get through that pain and that suffering through God's love. People get me when they say, like we always say, this is church hurt. They did this because it's church hurt. People got church hurt, and so they upset with God. God didn't do nothing. He didn't do a doggone thing to you. Or, God took my mom. He didn't do nothing. God is up here. He didn't do any of that. He didn't do nothing to you. He didn't do nothing. He didn't do it. But you mad with God because you don't love yourself. And you can't love this girl or that boy. You can't love nobody. You can't love anybody because you don't have the love of God in you. Because if you have the love of God in you, when your mama passed away, you understand. If you have the love of God in you, when somebody did you wrong, you can deal with it and you can get over it. But only what you got. But you got to have the love of God in you. You got to have the love of God in you. Got to have it. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the first chapter. Let's look at the fourth verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has set us apart from people. But we try to get back in the crowd. He put us to the side. But it seemed like to us is more people over there. So we want to go back over there because there's more people over there. God put you over here. But you want to go back over there because you think it's more fun over there and more people. I want to be over there in her group because she be making me laugh. I want to hang out with them. But God set you over here for a reason. He said, don't you know he put you over here to protect you from being over there? Because the ones over there ain't for you. The ones over here has the same like-minded of God. These over here, they laugh and joke, but when you walk out the street, they're going to talk about you. But these ones right here, we all like-minded. So he set you apart for a reason. He set you apart for a reason. But you, we want to get back over there. We want to hang out with the crowd. Think about it. When God told Jeremiah, I knew you from the belly, and I formed you, and I want you to be a prophet. Don't you know God knows each and every last one of us? So all of us have an assignment. He just because he told Jeremiah, I will ordain you thee a prophet unto the nations. He told this in the book. But God told us, all of us got an assignment from God. All you gotta do is ask him what it is. All of us got, your assignment may not be a prophet, but it's still being a child of God. Because when he made you to be one of his children. He didn't make you to be something else. But we chose to be something else on our own. That was all on our own accord. That's all on our own accord. Okay, here we go. Now, when it comes to God and the things of God, God has given us we have to have the love of God. We know this. But the heart really doesn't change. And the heart really doesn't have an opinion. It's a heart. But we give the heart an opinion with our mind. Where our mind is the one that set what's going on in the heart. That the heart is strong, but the mind and the enemy gets in your mind, and he has your mind to change your mind about stuff. So then now, guess what? It affects your heart. And when it affects your heart, it's coming out your mouth, not the good stuff. Now, you know, sometimes when y'all eat a lot of stuff and eat stuff and it's not good for your stomach, you throw it up, right? That's not good for you. It gets thrown up. But when the enemy, he puts stuff in your mind, and so therefore you're saying some negative stuff, it's going to get thrown up out your mouth. Now, a man and a woman, or anybody in a relationship, whoever, man and a woman, sisters, brothers, all kinds, you get together, y'all happy, y'all excited about each other, And y'all love each other. But they may do something that's not right. Your husband may have an affair. Your sister says something negative to you that you don't like. But if you have the love of God in you, because you are continually renewing your mind with the word of God, it's going to be okay. You're going to let it go because now you love her as you love yourself, your neighbor. You love her. God told me this. I said, Lord, I understand you have to love your neighbor as yourself. I got that. But I don't got that. Because I know I love myself. So how can I love my neighbor like I love myself? Because I love myself. He said, okay, let's look at it like this, daughter. If you love me and I love you and you understand the love that I have for you and you want to do what's right and you want to please me, you're going to see that I love that person just like I love you. So if I love that person just like I love you, why wouldn't you love that person? Because that's who I love. And that's like, okay, 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 you, okay, okay, okay. Because I be laying, I don't get it. I don't understand. Explain, explain, explain. And he be like, I said, okay, I got it. I said, oh, so if I'm calling my I love you unconditional, if I'm learning how to love you unconditional, and you love that girl over there, why wouldn't I love her? Because you love her. And if I love you, I'm supposed to love what you love. He said, look at my son. Okay, God. Okay, God. I got it. I got it. I used to love this group, and I still like it. They're clean group. They're a clean group. I won't say the name, but y'all might know. They had a song, it said, of the way of the world, that said, a child is born with a heart of gold. But the way of the world make their heart turn cold. It's called how people treat you, what people say about you. But if you don't have the love of Christ, if you don't believe that God loves you, if you don't believe that he loves you, you won't believe that nobody else loves you. Because you can't fathom it. But when you realize that God loves you, and you reciprocate the love that he has for you. You and God loves each other. And you realize how much he loves you. It's not hard for you to love your brother. Because God loves your brother. God is God is God. I tell you, that guy, he is just amazing to me. He is amazing to me. He's great. So we all know that you got to go to Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2, I'm going to read it to you. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is why, you know, that's why we have to renew our mind on a daily basis. Because once you start renewing your mind and renewing your mind and renewing your mind, you'll become more acceptable to God because now you understand God. Now you understand his will. Now you understand his way. Now you understand what he has for you. Now you understand what he wants you to do. Now you understand how he wants you to live. But you have to renew your mind. Once you renew your mind, it starts going down to the heart. And now your heart is getting stronger and stronger. Because right now, a lot of us got some dents in our heart. And I'm going to tell y'all what some of those dents are. It's different dents. It's different type of dents. But this a particular dent, I'm going to tell you what a particular dent, and it messes up a lot of us. But let me go back to what I was saying before I jumped into another. God had to bring that back to my remembrance. Okay, let's say you got a sister that made you upset, your husband messed around with you, or whatever. Long as you continue, you got the love of Christ, you can let it go. But then when you have your mind is not renewed, that enemy will tell you, well, you know what? He gone to the store. But that ain't really where he going. You know he probably going to call that girl. Now you getting mad, and it's affecting your love for him. It's affecting it. Your sister done something bad to you and made you mad. So the next time you talk to her on the phone, if she say one cross word, it's going to bring it all back. You know, I'm not going to let her talk to me like she did last time. I'm going to let her know right now. You're going to bring it all back. It's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. But guess what? If you have the love of God in your heart, when your husband goes to the store, you can say, you know what? I know he going to the store because he's going to get me some juju mints and he coming back. I don't care what you say. He's going to get me some juju mints and he bring those juju mints back. You hear that? Because I love my husband and I know that's where he's going. Because I don't let it go. I don't let it go. So I know what he's going to get. He's going to get something for me. And your sister, when she call you and give, even if she say a crossword, something. Yeah, girl, you always talk like that. They ain't think about you. Yeah, you always said stuff like that. Girl, yeah, okay. I did. Told you later. She's so silly. I ain't think about her. And you go on about your business. You don't let that stuff fester. You let that stuff fester in your spirit. It gets you. You can let that stuff go. Let's go to Philippians. Second chapter. Okay, I'm doing good on my time, Lord. You got me on time, Father. Philippians, let's go to the second chapter. Let's go to the third verse. We're going to read 3-5. Let's go to the third verse. And it reads, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, you have that if you have the love of God in you. You won't always think about yourself. You won't always think it's all about me. It's always about me. It's always about me. You won't think about that, but you'll be thinking about other people. When you think about taking a picture, you'll think, oh, let me take a picture of you. You know what? Let me take a picture of me. No, let me take a picture of you. Because you beautiful. You love the Lord. Let me take a picture of you. You know? No, you'll take a picture of the other people. Because you'll think about other people. Let me do something. Now, y'all know, there's a certain candy that I love. I love certain candy. So certain holidays, I bring this candy. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, for years, that candy was for Janice. Janice loved that candy. And I said, you know what? I said, I wonder would anybody else like this candy. So I started bringing that candy to the church, and everybody loves that candy. And then I said, you like that candy? Well, you gonna like this candy. You know, think about somebody else. Somebody else may enjoy what you enjoy. Don't hold it for yourself, because guess what? First of all, you ain't created. You ain't created. You ain't make it. You ain't created. So why would you hold something that don't really belong to you anyway? It belongs to God, and God wants you to share. He wants you to let people know about certain things. So share what God gave you. Share what God did. Guess what? God loves us. His love never fails. If we know God, love never fails. And God never fails. Because he's love. So because we know God never fails and God is love, why wouldn't you want to be on somebody's side that he is love and he never failed and they're one? So you need to be with him so you can never fail because he never failed. So you can be on the same team. If God never fails and God is love and you love like God loved, then you'll never fail. No matter what the situation is. No matter what it is, you'll never fail because you won't see it as a defeat. You will see something good out of it, no matter what. Because God sees something good out of everything. To him, anything you think about the scripture, what the enemy wants for bad, God turns to good. Think about that. So if something's bad happening, God can turn it around and make it good. So why can't you think about it like that? If God never fails, then you don't fail. But if you got the love of God in you, you won't fail either. Think about that. So if I'm looking, like my husband here tell me, yeah, you always look at the glass half full. That's true. I said, well, it's half empty. He don't look at it like that. He look at the glass is half full. So when you think about things in life, you may have had some problems, things might have happened to you in life. You think about, okay, this has happened. So how can I benefit from this? What can I do to make this better? What I need to do better? Because guess what? It's never God. It's never him. It's always something that we've done. It's always something we've done. God don't make mistakes. He don't do nothing wrong. Because that way, if something happened in your life that's not what you think it should be, then guess what? God may have something for you that can make it better in your life. Or you need to think about, what did I do wrong that didn't come out the way it was supposed to come out? So let me look at that. It's always something good can happen. You know what? Even if you take 5 pieces of candy, and you can say, I can eat all 5, but you know, I really don't need to eat all 5. I'm going to just eat 2, and then I'm going to give the rest to somebody else. The candy ain't good for you, but you don't have to eat all of it. You can eat a little bit of it and give it to somebody else. That's how God do. God bless us in everything. Everything is always good somewhere down the line when it comes to God. But we don't see that. We always look at the negative and hold on to the negative, and then we running with that. Because it seems like it makes us feel better. I shouldn't. The negative shouldn't make you feel better. The negative shouldn't make you want to do more. I mean, you can talk, seem like you can talk more about the negative than you can talk about the good. What is that? It's just sitting there, got so much to say. You just get in a good group and y'all roll. You know? But then we talk about God. God is good. Yeah, he is good. Mm-hmm. God blessed me. Yeah, he blessed me too. But if you only, girl, you know what, my car broke down too. And I had to get there. And then the man came over here and get smart. He got smart with me too. Oh, you rolling. You almost like, oh, I'm basking in it. I'm in the atmosphere now. Yeah. Oh, why would you do that? Why would you want to be in an atmosphere of negativity? Guess what that does? That affects your heart. That affects your heart. Because guess what? When you walk away from that conversation, you walk away defeated. And you think about all this stuff that has happened in that situation, that conversation. But then some of us do like this. Okay, yeah, but you know what? Hers was worse than mine. What she got was way worse than me. That ain't good either. You think you walk away with a little bit something better because somebody's situation was worse than yours. Why would you want to enjoy that? You shouldn't want to enjoy nothing like that. That's not God. God's heart don't like stuff like that. He can't take stuff like that. He don't like that. That's why the word of God said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to go to the 13th chapter. Okay, God. And it reads, love suffers long and kind. Love's not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things. In other words, if you're walking in God's love, you can handle any situation that comes your way. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, looking for who he can drive. He walks like a roaring lion, looking for who he can destroy, right? But there is only one Lion of Judah. Lion of Judah. Now, I said the devil walks around, I said, like a roaring lion. But we know the Lion of Judah. I ain't said like the Lion of Judah. I said the Lion of Judah. The devil goes around like a lion, a roaring lion. Rawr, 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 but you can't hardly hear him. If you're in the word, you can't hear him because he ain't loud enough. But if you're not in the word, you hear every roar that he makes. Every roar he makes, you hear everything. But if you're in God's word, you don't hear him. You done blocked him out because his roar is not loud enough as the Lion of Judah. Because we know who we serve. So, you think about this. The enemy is like it, but he is not it. Because he can't create it. He can only be like something. Because he can't create nothing. He can only mimic a lion. He can mimic. But he can't be the lion. He walks around like a roaring lion. Because he can't be the lion. So when you think about that, when your enemy come your way trying to be angry and get on top of you, if you really listen to it, you got to get your ear all the way to the ground and listen to him because he's supposed to be under your feet. So if you got to go this to listen to him, is it worth your neck? Getting a crick in your neck to listen to him? Is it worth your knees? If you got bad knees, is it worth getting on the ground so you can hear it? Is it worth all that? Because he's supposed to be under your feet. He should be up at your ear. He shouldn't be this high. He should be under your feet, right? So he should be like a roaring lion running around who thinking who he can. If you can't hear him, you can't be worried about it. So don't be listening to something that you shouldn't be listening to in the first place. A lot of people that do all that gossip, to me, that's like a roaring lion. Gossip, you hear the, I can't hear all that. I don't want to hear all that. You shouldn't be wanting to hear all that. Now, let's go here, because I don't want my time to run out, because this God wants me to get this part right there. Okay, let's see. Let's see how God and Jesus showed us his love. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now let's look at it. Let's look at Luke 23rd chapter, verse 34 and 35. And it reads, then Jesus said on the cross, after they beat him, did all kind of terrible stuff to him for something that he didn't do, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his garments by casting lots. Then on verse 35, the people stood watching, and the ruler sneered at him, saying, he saves others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. But they said, he saves others. That's because they didn't know. When he said, when he gave up his life, he already saved others. They didn't get that part. But the part, what Jesus did on that cross for us, he gave us, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He was already interceding for us on the cross right then. So he gave us the opportunity to be intercessors for ourselves with him being in the middle. That was one of the things he did. He also gave us the opportunity to repent and ask for forgiveness, because he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So when he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, he given us the opportunity to repent when he said, forgive them, because they don't know. So therefore, if you don't know what you're doing and you ask God to forgive you, then you can repent, because he already said forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Even though at the cross, he said they don't know what they're doing. But not just forgive them, forgive them for all their sins. Everything that they do wrong, forgive them, because they don't know. But you have to ask for forgiveness once you know. If you don't know, I got it. But if you know, you need to ask for forgiveness. And he said for everlasting, because he gave us everlasting life. So there are some gifts that God gave us through his son Jesus Christ's death. With Jesus' death, it produced, we became inheritors to the kingdom. We became beneficiaries to an insurance policy that we didn't even know was taken out in our name. Each one of us has an insurance policy. And the person that gave us to us was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Now, look at this. I get $100,000, my insurance policy, from God. He didn't say, okay, you accept me as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to give you $50,000. You accept me as Jesus Christ, I'm just going to give you $25,000. You accept me, I'm going to give you $200,000. He didn't say that. We all get an equal share. We all get equal share into the kingdom, everlasting life. We all get equal share. We all got the benefits of Jesus' death. We all get it. We all, not just the financial business. We got the benefit of being healed. We got the benefit of being speakers on. We got the benefit of speaking on his behalf. All those benefits came from his death. But some of us know how to activate our inheritance. Some of us don't. Some of us deactivate our inheritance. Now, what you think about David? David always activated his inheritance. He always used his heart and said, God, please forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. And his heart, God forgave him, but guess what it also did? It just reactivated his insurance policy. It reactivated his benefits. It reactivated everything that God had for him, because he always repented. Saul lost his benefits. He lost his inheritance because Saul wanted to get an insurance policy from the people. He wanted an insurance policy from them. And once he thought that he could get an insurance policy for him, he didn't care about what insurance policy that God had, what was everlasting life. He figured, if I can get the face value of this insurance policy right here, I'll be all right. He wanted man's insurance policy. And you know man's insurance policy never paid good. It'll never give you no good payment. It never pays well. Man's never pays well. But God's insurance policy is everlasting life. Plus, not just everlasting life on in heaven, but everlasting life here, because your life is good. Your life is well. Only if you ask for forgiveness. Now see, when I was talking about that heart and I was talking about some dents in that heart, one of the dents in our heart, a lot of our hearts, is unforgiveness. We deactivate our own insurance policy when you don't forgive. We have unforgiveness in your heart. Your insurance policy has been tainted a little bit. It can't give you, you can't get the full manifestation of God and what he has for you with your insurance policy, because now you got unforgiveness in your heart. So when you go to the person and say, okay, I want to know how much I'm going to get on my insurance policy. The insurance policy said, let me look at how much you get. Did you ever tell her you were sorry? You'd be like, oh. Well, I was getting ready to tell her, but she went home. Did you go to your boss and said that you cussed him out because he didn't give you a raise, but he said you don't hardly come to work? Look, he said that, but he know I come to work at least 3 times a week. I know I'm supposed to come 5, but 3, I have things I got to do. Okay. Was you supposed to bless this sister with those Pampers that she needed for her baby, and you knew she needed it? But you told her you'll give it to her next week, but the baby needed it now. You said you ain't got time because you got something else you got to do, get your nails done. Okay. Well, you know what? You got an insurance policy, but I may have to put it under review. Because I don't think you're going to get all that you're supposed to get in your insurance policy. Now, okay, no, don't get me wrong. You got everlasting life because you a child of God. You confess with your mouth. So you got everlasting life, but the benefits on this earth may not be as good as they could be because you got some tendencies of not doing right by God. You don't want to honor God with your heart. You want to do what you want to do. And God loves you unconditionally, but you don't, your heart is pumping, but it's pumping at about 50%. You're not giving your God your whole heart. Your heart is not pumping 100% for God. You got 50% pumping for God, and the other 50% you pumping for you. So your policy is under review. Your policy on earth is under review. You're good in heaven. We got that. But because your policy is under review on earth, you might need to relook at that, and you might need to rethink that, because eventually it's going to affect your kingdom life. You might not make it because you allow your heart to take your heart to get smaller and smaller and let that mind continue. You're going to end up not going to heaven because you're going to end up not serving God. So you need to think about what kind of insurance policy you got with God. Do you have an insurance policy that God got continuously? You got an insurance policy that's everlasting? Or do you have an insurance policy that got some dents in it because some of the insurance policy that you already spent some of your money in places that it's not supposed to be spent? God is everlasting. That's why you think about it. When Ephesians talk about we have to put on the whole armor of God, that's why that breastplate is so important. You have to guard your heart. That breastplate of righteousness. You always want to be in right standing with God. You always want to be on the right side of God. You always want to be in the right standing. But when that head come into play, that head of salvation and that helmet, and that mind got to be protected, because when you confessed out your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ died and you said that, you said it out of your mouth. So when you said it out your mouth, now your head is affected. You said it out your mouth, now it's in your head. It's in your head and it went to your heart. But then your head started getting affected with other stuff. You start letting stuff seep through that helmet and start getting in that helmet. God, all kind of stuff get. And after a while, that helmet gonna get so big because you got all this other junk in it, it's gonna come off. And guess what? Now your breastplate is being affected. Now your heart is being affected. Because now you got your heart, your breastplate is off, and your head so big, and the helmet is gone somewhere else. Now your breastplate is loosening up in the back. It's getting loose. Because now all the stuff that's in your head, you're bringing it down to that heart. And your heart getting to a point that it's not pumping like it should. It's not pumping the things of God because it ain't in here. Your mind is the battleground of the enemy. And the more things he can put in your mind about somebody or something, it affects the heart. That's why it's so important to guard your heart. You think about it. Women get hurt, men get hurt. First thing they say, well, I can't let nobody in. I can't let my heart get hurt anymore. I can't let anybody in. I can't let my heart get hurt. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do it because I got to protect myself. I got to protect myself. But guess what? If you love God and God loves you, which he does, but you, the first thing is you got to love God because he already loves you. Your heart going to love him. And he's not going to allow anybody to come and hurt you. Why he's not going to allow anybody to come and hurt you? Because he's going to give you the revelation, which is the Holy Spirit, to let you know which is not right. Because your heart, with that breastplate, is a breastplate of righteousness, which is right. You're going to know what's not right. You're going to understand things is not going to go. The Holy Spirit going to say, that's not right. Don't go there. Don't do that. That's not the right person for you. Don't be in that conversation because that conversation is not good for you. Because guess what? When you're in that conversation and when they come and they want to know who was talking, you just standing there, you're going to be guilty just because you stood there. And you might not have said a word, but because you stood there, you're going to be in trouble. So guess what? Go over here and just stand over here. And don't matter what they say about you, you stand over here. Because when they come to you crying and ask you, can you pray for me because so and so and so, then you can still intercede on their behalf. You can still help them. You're not supposed to say, see, I knew that's why I wasn't supposed to be there. Because they, no, you don't say that. I'm going to pray for them because I don't want them to lose their job. I don't want them to get in trouble. I don't want them, because if I pray for them and I'm praying for them and they see that I've been praying for them, they're going to say, you know what, I appreciate you praying for me. And it may give you the opportunity that you need to tell them about God. You got to take every opportunity as an opportunity to talk to somebody about God. Don't take it as an opportunity to talk about them. Take it as an opportunity to talk about God. Ain't nobody like our Father. Nobody like our Father. And we know the word of God said, we say in Psalms 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit within me. We want to have a clean heart. You don't want a dirty, you know how people say, they'll say, yeah, she look good on the inside, but she nasty on the outside. You know, she look good on the outside, but she has a nasty attitude. She's this, or you may see a guy, oh, he looks good, but you don't want to mess with him. He ain't no good. He's a slickster. He's this, he's that. You don't want to be, because they don't have a good heart for you, and they don't care nothing about you, and they do all they can to mess you up. And the girl, oh, but her mouth, because she has a terrible mouth. Because they don't look at you. They look at the out, but once you open your mouth, your mouth can put you. It deactivates your inheritance. Because you're not speaking good things about God. You're speaking all this negative stuff. What's coming out your mouth. People don't want to be around you like that. People don't want to be around you. That you always got some negative stuff. You always got something that's not beneficial to nobody. Who wants to be around somebody like that? I don't. But people like being around people like that because they have the same spirit. Same spirit. But God says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now I want you all to go to Acts chapter 7. Let's go to verse 59. We're going to talk about a little bit about Stephen. Stephen was preaching the word of God and talking about God and Jesus Christ. He was preaching the gospel. And Paul was the one basically put him on to Stephen. But he was preaching the gospel about God and talking about Jesus Christ. So they wanted to get rid of Stephen. Verse 59 says, while they were stoning him, Stephen appealed and appealed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But falling down on his knees, he cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he fell asleep. Now, when you think about that, he said, Lord, receive my spirit. But as he was falling down to his knees that he was stoning him, he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Jesus Christ died on the cross, no comparison, but just Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He asking for forgiveness. God, Jesus was asking for forgiveness for stuff that we had no knowledge that was what we was going to do, the sins that we was going to commit. He was asking for forgiveness already. He was interceding for us. Because of the benefit of Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf, when Stephen died, he was able to intercede and say, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He was still able to intercede for us because of Jesus Christ's death. If he did not have the love of God in him, he would not have said that. As somebody talking about you, treating you like crap, doing all kind of negative things to you, will you be able to say, God, forgive them because they don't understand that I'm a child of God? Would you be able to say that? Well, if they're talking about you, would people have turned you in because you're talking about God? You'll say, well, we don't want to hear all that. You're not supposed to have those Christian things on your desk. You're not supposed to have those. Would you say, God, forgive them. They just don't know you that well yet. We're going to pray for them. They need to get to know who you are. Would you say that? Would you make it a positive or will you make it a negative? Hot. Would you take it that way? Or will you just put your stuff away and say, well, you know what? If I put it right here, they won't see it, but I still got it. Would you do that? Or would you just start slinging stuff? Stephen, as he was falling to his knees, he said, don't hold that sin against. So you think about all the things that people have done to us in our life, and I'm sure we got some doozies out there. People have done some stuff, not like we haven't done some stuff. Can we say, forgive them, God, and move on? Can we pray for them and move on? Or can we go to them and say, hey, I've done some, can you forgive me? Because your heart, you ain't got but one. You can't trade it in and get another one. Even though they do heart transplants, but it's still really you. It's your conscience. You cannot trade that in. So when you got some dents because you have unforgiveness in your heart, you got some dents because you cannot let stuff go, you got grudges against people, you got all these different kind of dents because you don't love your fellow man, you got walls because of you got neighbors beside you, they bet not, I done put this wall right here, they bet not, no grass bet not grow on my side of y'all. I'm telling, and that doggy, are you loving your neighbor? God loves us unconditionally. He know all the terrible stuff you gonna do. He know all the terrible stuff I've done. And he still love me because his son said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because once you know what you're doing, then that's when you gotta think about it. And you need to repent. But some of us do stuff continuously and we don't ask for forgiveness and we don't repent. So guess what? Our heart get hard. Just like God did. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Do you want your heart to be hardened? That way you're condemned. If your heart is hardened, you don't condemn yourself. You done already deactivated your benefits. You got the benefit of everlasting life when you get to heaven, but your benefits on life can be just as good. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go through hardship. You can be healed in Jesus' name. You can be financially free in Jesus' name. You got a policy that's equal to none. His policy is just everlasting. It's forever. His policy, your policy that you got, we got the same policy. We guess what? Look at this. God is God. Jesus Christ is his son. Jesus Christ made a decision to die for us. You know what that meant? That meant he didn't mind sharing his father's love with each and every last one of us. He didn't mind saying, you my brother, you my sister. My dad got this policy, and he said it's extended to everybody. I don't mind sharing it with you. He's sharing his father with us. He's sharing his inheritance that we didn't earn with us. You tell me that you got a man that's make a billionaire, and he has insurance, he has two kids. He's going to leave that money to his kids. He's not going to go and see you on the street. Oh, you know what? Come here, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to write you in my will. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm go give us 10 more people. I'm going to write all y'all in my will. He ain't going to do that. He's going to leave his money to his children. So guess who you are to God? We his children. He done left us all the benefits of everlasting life. He done left us all the benefits of everything that we can even imagine or think. All we need to do is give him glory, give him our whole heart, and love like he loves. Love our neighbors, love with the unconditional love, and understand that they're going to make mistakes. We may make mistakes. We can repent because of Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And we got the keys to the kingdom right here. Some of us unlocked the doors. You don't even want to go in. You don't. I don't want to go in that door. Who cares? I don't want to go in that. Girl, you go in that door. It's bright and it's beautiful. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. Some of us don't even want to open the door to the kingdom. And you got the keys because you confess. You don't even want to get everything that God has for you. Why? Because some of us, we don't study the word of God. So you don't know. You can only hear what Pastor Bondra said God can do for you. You hear what Pastor Ron said. You hear what everybody say that God can do for you, but you don't read it for yourself. Because I'm going to tell you, once you read it for yourself and you understand it for yourself, you're going to get it. You will go and get that money. You will go and get those benefits. You will go to the lawyer and say, read, I want the will to be read right now. I need to see what the Lord has left for me. I need to see what Jesus' death, burial, resurrection did for me. I need to see because I know what I'm supposed to have. Oh, no, you don't get all. Oh, yes, I do. I get all that. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, yes, I do. Because I know what he left for me because I'm doing right by God. I'm repenting. I'm making mistakes, but I'm repenting. I know what's in the will for me. Do you know what's in the will for you? How you gonna get it if you don't know what's in it? Amen? May stand to your feet.